Blog Talk Radio.
You got to get up every morning with a smile on your face and show the world all the love in your heart. Then people gonna treat you better. You're gonna find, yes you will, that you're beautiful.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to You're Important to Sara. I have a very special guest on today, but before we get to her, we're going to talk a little bit about the online gaming industry and the millions and millions and billions that it is worth. Did you know that those video games that your kids play with beat out movies, music, TV mediums? Could it be that it provides creativity, imagination, interaction, cognitive skills, participations, community socialization, global interactions, motor skills, fair play, and yes, stimulation. Perhaps that's everything they're getting that they're not getting from the schools. Do you remember when a computer was the size of a house, even a block? There was no conceivable way for it to be a portable computer, or even on the phone, and now you can wear it on a watch, and you can actually own one, and it's not spy stuff. It's open to the general public. 30 years ago, that was just science fiction. We used to learn the old way, you know, through books, textbooks, handwriting everything out, working math out the old way. Now, we stimulate the brain so much more by speeding up the learning process that is allowing and the learning ability to expand considerably, thus using more of our brain power, because we really only use very, very little. So why has the educational system not got with the times and is still insisting on teaching our children the same old boring, unrelated to life skills information? It doesn't just not serve the needs of today's society, but I know they're trying to change. I know it's hard for them because you're looking at finances, computers in every room, etc. But I think they're trying to do it the hard way. And I think if they used Aaron Foster's system, which you're going to hear all about very shortly, they could actually make teaching our children so much more fun, learning so much more faster and at a deeper level, and so much more economically than what they're doing now. No, this is not a getting rid of teachers and everything becoming robotic. This can come back a teacher's aid. It will allow those teachers that have such huge and large classrooms to actually be able to teach much better. Put a child in front of a computer, show them how to switch it on, what a mouse is, and they're off. There's no stopping them. And wow, what creativity comes out of them. It's mind-blowing. They take to it with such ease. By educating our children this new way, they seem so adaptable to using the interactive game to learn. They learn faster. Well, my guest, Erin Foster, has done just that. She has taken a game, community-like thing, you remember Sims? Similar to that, and created an entire interactive education online, teaching our children skills like math, reading, and so much more. She has made it so much more fun for the kids that they just jump all over it and don't even realize they're learning. Children learn at an alarming rate from the ages 3 to 7. Actually, I think it's kind of from birth. But, you know, 3 to 7 when it starts getting to the educational point of view. They're literally like sponges, sitting in classrooms learning from old textbooks on subjects long past does not inspire them. It doesn't create that inquisitive mind. Allowing a child to grow at their own level, indeed have education based on the achievement echelon no matter the age, allows for a child to learn within their own comprehension without feeling that they've been left behind. I could not learn in the classroom. It made me actually sleepy. And unless I could interact or ask questions and dialogue about the subject, I got left behind. Intelligence is not based on your grade, but on what you know what to do with the information. Knowledge for the sake of knowledge is non-productive. Knowledge is meant to be used. This is not, again, a dig at teachers, but at the system in which they teach. This is a new tool for the teachers to teach all the children in their vast classrooms. Now imagine this interactive game-type school can be used anywhere in the world, in any arena, like homeschooling. The millions of children that are homeschooled, but this could create actually a system to which they are all taught at home, making it much easier for the parents and even the community to come together because the kids are learning the same type of skills. Community centers, if the kids aren't getting the education at school, you can set it up in community centers and come together and help the children there, especially if this is preschool. You can certainly do it in preschool community center programs there. As I said, in schools for teachers, parents helping their children get a head start. And even in religious communities, they can actually create an entire religious realm within that game for you. So you can actually teach about religion and your philosophies within this educational game. It's really quite mind-blowing of how far this can go. China has intended that English be the global language for all their universities, communication and e-commerce. And they hired Aaron Foster to develop an ESL program for them, for all the youngsters, to prepare them for an English global interactive education. And this makes perfect sense to me. So in other words, if you don't speak English, you don't get into a university over there. They recognize that English is the global language. It does not matter where you are in the world. You just have to speak English. In the future, you won't even need the internet. It will be able to be downloaded by your phone and update different apparatuses in your educational program. These are the times, folks. This is the new age. And we need to give our children as much help as possible so they can thrive, so they can live up to their possibilities tomorrow. By having our children focus on learning real knowledge that serves them today, and let's face it, folks, they're our leaders of the future. We need to teach them in the ways of the 21st century and to give the world a chance to find balance, peace, and prosperity in our lifetime. They are the ones that are going to make the decisions in the future. So let's give them the right education and the right basis, the right philosophy, and the right consciousness in which to make those decisions. So we're going to learn all about what the four C's are as opposed to what the three R's are. And we're going to be asking Erin Foster a whole load of questions. Her website, if you want to write it down, is www.cackleberries, cackleberries.com. And I highly recommend you go and have a quiz. It is quite interesting. So the best person to talk about this, the four C's, and all these other things that we need to learn, let's welcome on Erin Foster. Hello, Erin. How are you today?
Thanks. Fine, Sarah. Thank you for the introduction. My goodness. Not much left to say, actually.
Oh, that's for you to say. I know you.
Oh, yes. Oh, it's been a wonderful, wonderful project building Ovil and building this virtual world for kids. And I'm really, really glad to have this opportunity to talk about it.
Well, it's a wonderful tool for actually anybody to use. It's not just for the educational system. It's education anywhere for any child.
Correct. And the little children, our target audience is actually 3 to 7, maybe a little older for the less exposed children. And it's so much fun that they have no idea they're learning. Some of our components are actually look like classroom settings, but with full animation, it has a Disney feel to it as opposed to a classroom feel. So it's a great way to teach little kids, and we're getting wonderful feedback from parents.
Well, when you watch a child at play, you know, get a few of them out there with a bucket and mud and things like this, and they're suddenly creating dishes and mud pies, and, you know, I mean, they go into their own world, don't they? I mean, they're so...
Yes, they do.
...with each yeah. other, so what better way than to teach them through an interactive source where they...
Yeah.
they
well, we don't allow interactivity between people. Basically because there is absolutely no way to protect them. We've seen it time and time again where so-called safe sites for children are still exposing them to pedophiles and online predators. So what we've decided to do, because our audience is the youngest and the most in need of protection, is any interactivity the child will have on a social level is going to be with animated characters. Much safer, and I think if you ask any 4-year-old if they want to talk to their neighbor or to a cartoon character, they'll choose a cartoon character.
Exactly.
So our site safety came first. That was the number one issue because it's, again, 3 to 5 year olds. I mean, who more needs protection than these little kids? And we actually operate outside of the web. We have our own browser, and when a child comes into our world, they can only leave. They can only enter from the desktop, and they can only leave to the desktop. There's absolutely no access to the internet.
That's fabulous.
Or to the World Wide Web. Got to get my geek terms right. Yeah, so it's very, very safe. That's number one. Guaranteed. 100% safe.
That's great. So, you know, parents can just let their kids be on it and let them go, and they don't need to worry there's going to be no, you know, tapping into them.
Exactly. You teach your child to click the desktop icon to get into the Cackleberry's world, and that's it. They know how to click it. They get in. It's fully functional for a small child. No written menus, no instructions. It's a discovery site, so off they go, and they play. And unlike adults, children do explore.
Right, and there's no wrong way for them to play. I mean, there isn't, like, if you click the wrong thing, hard luck. So basically, it doesn't matter what they click on, they're going to be learning something?
Absolutely. And so, you know, some of the components are games, just straight-up games. But even games at this age teach them hand-eye coordination and, you know, all kinds, and computer skills, which is essential for their generation.
I know
and some of them are more curriculum-based. The ESL program is absolutely curriculum-based. It's a 3-year instruction program that the first year is fun, and the next 2 years get harder and harder. So, and our math is a curriculum-based program as well that we'll be launching shortly.
Yeah, I think that is you know, wonderful that, you know, the Chinese have bought your ESL program and that they're recognizing that English really needs to be the universal language here. You know, that really that's the way business is going and basically the language that everybody's communicating in. Mm-hmm. So I think that is fantastic.
I have to correct. The Chinese government has not purchased our program. We are retailing in China. But it's going well, very, very well. In the big picture, more than just the language of business, and I know this sounds a little airy-fairy, but once we all have a common language, the chances of us seeing the common goal for the world is much, much simpler. And
yes.
English is going to be it. I mean, it is the second language of choice.
Right. Which, you know, I'm thankful for.
Thank goodness for us, say Sarah.
I'm not saying another language.
I would have trouble with Swahili.
Exactly. Can you explain what the 4 C's are? You know, we know what the 3 R's are. Maybe you can reiterate what those are. And explain what the 4 C's are, which is really the new system.
Yeah. Well, the most important one in my mind is creative thinking, because we need to solve all the problems of the world, and that will only happen if we teach our children to be creative. It is a huge issue in some of the Asian cultures, so bringing creativity to the kids is a big one. The second C is critical thinking, and that's being able to find a problem, master the solution, and you know, there's patterns of teaching children critical thinking. The 4th C for this new millennium is cooperation. People work in teams now. That is the name of the game. The working alone is, we're just not, you see the online cooperation in all the sciences now around the world. We have the ability to have one big brain instead of a whole bunch of little ones now. So it's working out very well. And then the last one is communication, and that is essential. And as you see with this younger generation, they are in constant communication with each other all the time. So reading, writing, and arithmetic will probably be handled predominantly by electronic means now. Cursive writing seems to have disappeared almost entirely. And the 4 C's will open the doorway to our new education systems. Cackleberry's is right on top of that.
Fantastic. Now, does a parent have to be computer savvy to help their children with this?
No, they absolutely do not, and in some cases, it's a bit of a detriment to have the parent standing behind the child. By the time you get to be parenting age, you're looking for menus, instruction manuals, what do I do now? If you watch a little child, the first thing they do is called panning. They take the mouse and they start going back and forth across the screen and look for something to light up. You know, they have an inquisitive mind. There's no structure that they're following. And in a site like Oville, a discovery site, they just wander around until they find something to do. And it's a very real-world atmosphere. So they walk down a path and come to a door, and you knock on the door. That's how you get in. So it's very real. There's also clickables that aren't so real, like trumpeting plants and singing bluebells and river snorts that jump out of the river and frobits that fall from trees.
So
there's
have
lots
you found
of non-real world stuff.
So actually, have you found that this is kind of, in a lot of ways, kind of rewiring the brain?
No, I think
in the way that
not. I think it's just the opposite. I think we are born to be inquisitive and curious. And our school systems, and not just our school systems, but we condition children to fit in a role and think a certain way and operate a certain way. If we don't put those barriers up in the first place, the creative brain will control, will stay in charge.
Right. So, you know, in other words, take the boundaries and, you know, drop the walls and just let the flow go.
Yes.
So also, can you explain about, Jean, because when we talked before, we talked about how you actually can take this game and actually put in, like, the religious dominations where, you know, they could, for people that homeschool based on religious, you know, on the religious realm, you know,
one of the things that we're developing is an area, a piece of real estate in our virtual world, where a custom-designed building can be created for a target market. So if you are a Christian religion and you want to have Sunday school and you contract with Oville to build a Sunday school, we can build a Sunday school just for your children. No one else will see it if they don't opt in. We could also build a mosque or a cultural center or a Haida Gwaii language preservation school. Like this, the opportunity to build a piece of customized applications for a certain audience is part of our virtual world and our plan. We're dealing in the Philippines right now. It's one of our first big ESL markets after Hong Kong. And they would like a Philippine cultural center. It might not be of any interest at all to the Inuit kids. So we
right.
will build a
exactly.
cultural center that in Cebu and Manila, the kids can log on and learn about their Philippine history and sing their national anthem and read about heroes and things like that. So this will be a virtual building that will be custom created for an audience that specifically has asked us to do this. And
see,
it's very exciting because we can have spirituality around the world by doing this.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I'm a huge thing advocate for going back to the village. Now, you know, physically, just because we're so vast and, you know, our cities are so vast, it's very hard to find that community village within your area. But, you know, online now, especially for a program like this, you're creating that village atmosphere. You know, you're opening it up to people like-minded, with same philosophies, you know, and they're in their village. They're in their place where they feel safe. But it also points out that they can explore other adventures as well and open
and
up to what everybody
else
is thinking of. Yeah, yeah.
One of the
things
most proud of is last year we made an agreement with Variety, the children's charity. And we have built Variety House in Oville, and it's hosted by Charity, our little girl that's confined to a wheelchair because she lost her bounce. And Variety teaches children all about special needs and mostly how to react and how to address people with special needs to make it part of everyday society. So I'm just thrilled by that.
Children just accept children for who and what they are. It's actually parents' prejudice that very often will dictate
exactly.
to a child how they receive. But children, you know, really don't see differences. They don't see color difference. They don't see, you know, oh, you're in a chair. How did you get there? And they just ask the questions, and then that's it. You know, it's so if we could choose to get back into that world where we could just live so, you know, purely and innocently.
We return to innocence.
yes.
And
yes.
Oville is multicultural, but there's no race.
Right.
Well, I guess there is race. There's purple people and green people and yellow people. But there's every race. We have a little
there's
Spanish.
There's no dominant thing, right? Yeah, that's
so
fabulous.
We have a lot of every ethnicity, not race, I'm sorry. Yeah, so. And everybody belongs. It's a sense of oneness.
So when do you think you're going to higher age groups? Kind of reaching your next age group, maybe, you know, the 8 to 11th or something. Are you working on that?
We have tentative plans, but success in our first age group is first. Obviously, if you can raise a child in innocence and in a protective environment, you don't want to let them loose at 8 and say, okay, the internet's there for you. So it would be wonderful to be able to carry them right through, even to 18. I mean, we don't need to have Grand Theft Auto and these kinds of games entertaining our children.
Right. exactly.
So, should I be trashing the other guys? Probably not. But that's a bad game. It's an excellent game with a bad moral message.
You Simply
that. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Oldville is about a time of innocence. You know, I'm halfway through my life, and I have to look back at the 60s and remember how wonderful and pure our childhood was then. And it's
yes.
It would be nice for kids not to be exposed to the things they're being exposed to now on the internet, on TV.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, and also, you know, I mean, you know, when we did grow up, it, you know, we just kind of didn't look at people as different. It was inquisitive.
No,
you know,
right.
Why are you wearing that? Or, you know, why are you this? Why are you that? And you asked. You didn't assume.
Yeah.
You asked. You communicated. And there wasn't this, like, you know, oh, you're wearing that, so therefore you must be this. And, you know, we need to get back to forgetting about what's on the external and looking what's on the internal and learn to communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we, fortunately, being in Vancouver, we have the most wonderful team in the world building this. So Vancouver is just a hot spot for talent and creative people, and I think we have the best. We're all partners. We're all doing this together. And it's really worked out well.
So basically, if somebody has a computer and internet access and they can afford, what is it, basically $10 a month, they can get started in teaching their children?
Yes. Well, we have a free area, of course, which includes the library, which should always be free, a fire and safety center, the Variety House, a place to play, and Mumbi, who is our matriarch of the world. So you can get into all of those places for free. Then for $10 a month, the rest of the world opens up. Past that, there are actual curriculum programs that can be purchased, but that's a little bit more complicated because they're actually school, and we monitor the kids, and we measure their success and interact with the parents. And those curriculums, we're building seven. The first one is launched. Math will be launched by Christmas, and then we'll start with science, art, music, physical education. Just to go back a tiny bit, one of the things that Mumbi's is also going to teach, as will some of the other characters, is life skills. Simple things like tying your shoes and brushing your teeth. Two, don't be a bully, don't lie, don't cheat.
Right. Yes.
The really important things is the
very
that's actually where we
thing.
Started. Yeah.
Yeah.
How to get along, how to love each other.
And that's
little
something
John Lennon.
Yeah, yeah, yes, imagine, yes. So that was a nice closing at the Olympics. You know, I mean, that is, I think, is what we talk about the age of innocence and kind of, you know, we grew up in it because, you know, we're in those 50 marks, and of course we do remember those quiet, peaceful times. But, of course, there's always stuff going on, you know, every generation has its thing going on. But it's also the, I think, it's not wanting to go back in time, but it's wanting to go back to a time where, you know, that innocence and that wonderment and that inquisitiveness was safe to follow. And, you know, because the internet is absolutely brilliant, was one of the best gifts to the world. But, of course, predators are predators, and they'll always find a way to, you know, to exploit something for their own need, because that's, you know, the general greed of man. Mm-hmm. Having something that is utterly safe, that you can literally go and cook your food or, you know, vacuum the house or do whatever you need to do, and your children are learning safely online without any concern whatsoever. And, you know, I mean, this is what a wonderful thing for a parent. They don't have to monitor. Because do you remember, we used to be there for hours to play, and nobody monitored us. But, you know, it just seemed to be more innocent. Now parents feel that they have to watch their kids like a hawk all the time.
Yes, yes. And I don't know in the real world if that is that important, but online there is no doubt. There is no such thing as safe chat. If you put your child out there with access to him, the predators will get there. It's an absolute. I mean, it's just, you know, as creative as the controllers can be, somebody else will find a way in. So the only way to keep your child safe online is to make sure there's zero access to them. That's the only way.
Right.
And then, you know, maybe by the time they're 12 or 13, you can teach them you can teach them how to behave online to protect themselves. But even at that age, you know, gosh, predators are so creative.
Yes, yeah.
Show me a copy of your school uniform. Aha, now he knows what school you go to. Simple
exactly.
thing.
Yes. And, you know, I think a lot of it is that we need to teach our children to be instinctual. If it doesn't feel right, it isn't right. Trust those instincts. And, you know, just
so in our age group, there is no question. Children should not be in chat rooms under the age of 8. Absolutely not. There's just no question.
Right. I think even longer than that, actually.
Yeah.
Have you measured your children that have done your program for a while, kind of compared to, you know, a child that's kind of gone through kind of kindergarten or first grade or anything? Have you measured their learning?
We haven't. We haven't. But I tell you right now, we haven't had one unflattering comment from a parent. Every single email we've had back or every comment has been, wow, my child loves this. You know, just we've had some parents say to us, oh, my goodness, I am so tired of her doing the same thing over and over and over again. The beauty of Oville, first of all, it's a brand new fable, and we haven't had a good fable since The Muppets. I mean, it's been a long, long time. So that's the first thing. This is 51 characters with literally 66 million years of history. So it's a wonderful fable. And the website itself, what's built today is huge, and it's only 10%. It's a growing world, and we have the ability to respond to what our customers want as we build the world. So if we find a child just loves playing in the river or likes the river rafting or the adventures or enjoys the county games, we'll build more.
Yeah, I mean, taking something like the Olympics, you can have, you know, an Olympic thing in there following, you know, the athletes and why are the Olympics so important? Yep. I mean, this is the beauty of it. You can really insert whatever anybody sees as a need. It's unlimited. So the growth for it is just enormous, absolutely fantastic. Well, you know, I haven't got grandchildren yet, but when I have, believe me, they'll be on this.
Thank you very much. We need everyone's grandchildren. I push hard because of my age. I want all my friends' grandchildren on there. And Tackleberries is a multifaceted company. Oville is just part of it. We're supporting it with publishing, toys, games, clothing, animation, music. You know, we have it all.
Yes, and you've got Frobit, the kick bug, which I love.
Get kids outside playing an hour a day, no matter what.
Exactly. So, you know, again, it's just kids love to be a part of something that, you know, that they can attach to, that comes a meaning to them. So, you know, Frobit is something that they learn to look after as well as that they've learned to play with, which is fantastic.
Yeah. And in the online world, they have to feed and care for it. And in the real world, they have to play with it. So.
I mean, I can see this though being something, you know, done at, you know, the preschool and the community centers. I can see even teachers in the grades, you know, 1-2, kindergarten to 2, using this as a learning tool in the schools, you know, especially those that have such diverse learning range children. And mm-hmm. I imagine that this would be pretty good with a lot of, I don't know if the word handicap is still used, but, you know, challenge.
Absolutely. We've had a few parents with autistic children who say the sight is wonderful for them. They like the color and the noise and the movement and holds their attention. So,
yes.
And in a classroom setting, what it could do is allow the teacher to, well, first of all, the children move at their own speed, which is really important in this generation. It's always been important, but now we're finally recognizing it. But it will allow the teacher to spend one-on-one time with the children that need more help and let the other kids barrel ahead in their chosen curriculum for the day or whatever they're learning.
Well,
the future. Right now, we just need to get the message out that we are safe and a wonderful, wonderful place for children to play and learn.
And, you know, parents, this is a great game to get your grandkids on. It's a great thing for you to do with your children as well. I mean, there is no end, no limit here, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
I've got only 30 seconds left. It goes too short. I thank you so much for having you on. And
Sarah,
you know,
before you run away, may I make one quick statement? Anyone who's listening to our show today can get a 30-day free membership by logging on and using your name as their password.
Ah, you hear that, folks? So you go www.cackleberries.com, and when you log on,
type
use the name
Sarah.
And remember, there's no H on the Sarah, folks. So plug in the name Sarah, and you get 30 days free to try this out with your kids. What a gift. Thank you so much, Erin.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Have a cackalicious day.
You too, my darling. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is something I love about my job, the people that I have that are of such inspiration and the things that they're doing for you, the listeners, for the world, and the changes that they're making. You know, she was a very accomplished woman, but basically a woman who loves children, and she decided to get out there and make a difference in the world. Yes, you can, folks. Yes, we can. Next week, I have Helen on. She's a psychic and
She's a Reiki master. So she talks to us about the responsibility, taking care of our own psychic ability, and how to use the psychic knowledge that we give to you. So this is going to be a great one. Helen Olson next week, and do tune in for that. Everybody have a fabulous week, folks. God bless. Goodbye.